This morning, we're not quite as close to the federal government's fiscal cliff. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio from the BBC studios in London this week. President Trump has cut a sudden deal with Democrats, effectively raising the limit on government borrowing enough to last until December instead of running out late this month. It was part of a deal to get money for disaster relief with these storms and floods. For that and more, as the markets open for the day on Wall Street, let us welcome into the studio here in London, Jasper Lawler, senior market analyst at London Capital Group. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Absolutely good to see you too.
So market participants must be pleased that the U.S. is not going to run into the government's limit on borrowing, at least until a few months from now, not just in a couple of weeks.
Well, precisely. I mean, it's really just delaying the day of reckoning for another 3 months. But nonetheless, it's certainly better than a government shutdown, which we know from on previous occasions that causes big economic damage, and not to mention uncertainty, which is always what markets care about.
Now, just now, this morning, the European Central Bank chose not to mess with interest rates here, but the boss at the ECB said that talks will begin soon, perhaps about tapering off the European Central Bank's stimulus program, its bond buying.
This is a big deal, not just for Europe, but it's really a big deal for the States as well. You could actually say that what the ECB have been doing and what they've been talking about as far as scaling back these bond purchases has probably been a bigger influence over the dollar and US Treasury yields, not to mention the matching markets in Europe, because these markets are so international, one flows into the other. For example, yields are so low on bonds in Europe that in a way you're forcing investors to buy US Treasuries just to get that higher yield. So he's hinting at this. He did say at the same time that FX volatility is something they're going to watch.
Foreign exchange volatility.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's him saying that tapering's coming, but hey guys, the euro's going up a lot because we're saying it's coming, so, and we don't like it going up. So actually, maybe you could send it back down again because we're warning you here.
Now, I suppose it also is good that Europe might be healthy enough to contemplate less stimulus.
The reason that people are speculating that this tapering is coming is because European economic growth is looking like the most sustainable it's been in a long period of time. You look at sentiment indicators, you just look at hard economic growth, it's outpacing the UK for one. But obviously, the job of these central bankers particularly is to manage the expectations and avoid what happened previously, which is the taper tantrum, where actually suddenly markets went wild because they weren't expecting. Ben Bernanke on that occasion said, so Mario Draghi hoping to avoid the same mistake.
All right. Jasper Lawler, who's senior market analyst at London Capital Group. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
This week here in London, I've been talking to far-flung BBC correspondents about business stories that should be on our radar but may get buried by the larger headlines. There is news that Australia's economy just keeps expanding. They haven't had a recession there since the late Ice Age or something. This may be a teachable moment for all of us about the dangers of getting too complacent. The BBC's Phil Mercer is in Sydney, where it is now night. Hi, Phil.
Yes, morning to you.
Wow, more than a quarter century without a recession for Australia. Quite an achievement. This will, I guess, go in perpetuity.
It was the early 1990s when Australia last slipped into recession. So Australia's economic performance is a topic that is widely covered in the media, as are house prices. Of course, that's linked to Australia's general economic health. It is in many parts of the country and a dominant topic of conversation at barbecues, at work, and of course in the media as well.
That sounds familiar to me as an American. That sounds like the same barbecues I attended in the U.S. before the last financial collapse in the U.S. and many places except Australia. Do people worry there? Do economists worry that it could be getting a little frothy there?
If you look at the rather conservative language of the central bank, Australia's Reserve Bank, it recently warned that there was a build-up of risks in the housing market. If you look at the figures, prices here in Sydney, for example, have leapt by 75% over the past 5 years. Last year, they rose by 13%. Things are cooling down now, but there are fears that this is a market heading for trouble. And for young Australians and first-time buyers, they are increasingly finding themselves being priced out of a red-hot market.
So while Australians are sitting around toasting themselves at barbecues for their magnificence with this economy that has expanded forever, what gets the credit? What's the recipe for that?
This uninterrupted economic growth is in large part due to a mining boom, selling iron ore and coal to the likes of China and Japan. Australia's once-in-a-100-year mining boom lasted for the best part of a decade and a half. It's coming off the boil now. That did insulate Australia from the worst effects of the global financial crisis. And what Australia's challenge now is to find something to replace the mining boom. So will it be education? Will it be tourism, manufacturing, or agriculture? The government hopes all of these things. And all of these things to guarantee another 25 years, perhaps, of prosperity.
The BBC's Phil Mercer in Sydney, thank you for this.
Thank you very much.
Now, I realize the word headquarters means headquarters, but there's news the retail giant Amazon is looking to build a second headquarters to supplement its Seattle Nerve Center. Where? Somewhere in North America. If you know any locales that might be interested, Amazon could spend $5 billion on a facility to house 50,000 people. In London this week, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.